Welcome, aspiring Game Nation citizens, to episode 74 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where we're all citizens of the Game Nation, whether or not we can attend the awesome upcoming celebration event. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And tonight, Brian and I, and maybe Rick, will be welcoming none other than Ryan Donaldson of Game Nation fame to discuss the inaugural Game Nation celebration event that'll be coming up on the day after Halloween 2013. But before we get to that, let's start things off in our usual fashion with our weekly geekly geekly weekly roundup. For want of any other candidates, Brian, I nominate you to go first.
Kind of a boring week. I've been doing the painting thing still, so I've been trying out like new techniques with green stuff and cork and oregano and all kinds of neat little things like that. My weekend was pretty killer. I don't know if anybody's aware of this, but what was it? Friday night started the yearly 24 pages in 24 hours deal. You guys may remember that from last year, which, by the way, actually means I've been here a year. That's kind of a good thing for me.
Is that a national event, by the way, or?
Yeah. I mean, Tate's makes kind of a big deal out of it here, I think, but everyone does that, so pretty neat.
Tate's being our the biggest comics institution in our market, I guess we could safely say.
Yeah, I would bet by an order of magnitude. So they were open far longer than 24 hours, actually. They were open, I guess, like, you know, noon or whatever Friday to 10 p.m. Saturday. But during that, there were 24 hours of people sitting there drawing comics. I actually got there a little late. I think the monster had worn off and people were starting to snooze. But seeing the progress and being part of the little event was still pretty neat. Of course, being at Tate's, I picked up a bunch of comics. The new to me, I don't know how long it's been out, but it's called Sex Criminals. It's about a girl who freezes time whenever she orgasms.
Okay.
And wackiness ensues, of course.
Yeah.
So pretty interesting. I'm kind of glad to see comics not doing the same superhero thing over and over. It's kind of neat to see something new popping up. And I think they're handling it pretty well. It's not exactly like X-rated or pornographic or anything. I mean, sure, there's like boobs, but it's pretty mature story. It's not just, I don't know, like hentai or whatever.
Seems like that harkens back to our recent episode where we talked about how comics are a serious medium and comics are a venue in which you can explore sort of unorthodox ideas.
Comics can be literature. It's wonderful.
Yes. Yes. You put that much more concisely than I could have.
And continuing on after that 24-hour period, Saturday was Star Wars Reads Day. Which is, it's kind of a youth-oriented day. It's a celebration of, like, promoting literacy and promoting the joy of reading. But they had all kinds of neat Star Wars-themed activities to do. And instead of going to a local library and looking a little on the creepy side, wanting to play stick puppets with the, you know, 8-year-olds all day, I decided to stay home and celebrate on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Google, whatever it's called. So I was posting different activities all day. I actually had some really cool feedback. Two of our fans went to the event and posted what they drew and what they colored on our Facebook, and someone else actually went and they got there late, I guess, and they were all out. So when he got home, he was able to like, he's like, oh, they have printouts and I'll just print them out. Thanks, Nerdcast. That was really killer.
Oh, cool. Some holiday community service.
Yep. And our longtime secret member, friend, supporter, I don't know what you want to call April, but April helped me with Instagram and using Star Wars Day as a launching pad. We tripled our readership, so that was a well-spent day.
Indeed. Well, welcome aboard, new Instagram fans.
How about you, Tom? What did you do?
Jeez, compared to all that, compared to that flurry of activity,
When I get going.
Clearly. Let's see. Anything of great interest? As I mentioned through the character Weekly the Geekly Goblin in last week's role-playing episode. I got my new solid-state drive installed. That was sort of a last week's news, though. Apart from that, in the aftermath of that, I was just sort of resting on my laurels all week and playing some video games. I am making really good headway in Mass Effect 3. I suspect I'll have that finished relatively soon. Really enjoying that game. Highly recommend the entire series. Playing a little more Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. Shockingly enjoyable. I just didn't think I would be as into that game as I am. I have to like force myself to put it down. I want to keep playing. And getting caught up on some comic reading. I got the new Saga individual issue that came out in the wake of the trade paperback. So I read that and then got caught up on my reading of that X-Men series I've been reading recently. But they kind of threw a curveball at me in that they tied in some kind of a, I guess, cross-series story or narrative that's going on that threw me for a loop. So I'm going to have to visit my local comic book store.
And pick up the cross-series?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how they get you.
Seriously, because it makes no sense, I think, outside that context. So I'll be stopping by Phoenix Comics and Games right here in Seattle, where I've been going with some frequency to see about remedying that situation. Apart from that, just living my life. But I am really excited about tonight's guest, Ryan Donaldson of Game Nation, who will be discussing with us tonight the first ever Game Nation celebration event that'll be taking place the day after Halloween, as I mentioned during the intro. So without further ado, let's take it over to our interview with Ryan. Joining us tonight is Ryan Donaldson, VP of Storytelling and Fandom from Game Nation. Hello, sir.
Good evening.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you back on the virtual eve of the Game Nation celebration event.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very advantageous because we're doing a lot of really awesome stuff. And we find that, especially being on podcasts, specifically yours, gives us an opportunity to have the communication with both our fan base and our guests that we always, always want to have.
Cool. Well, we're glad you're here to impart any information you're able to impart on our audience. There's a lot shaking in the Game Nation universe, a lot going on. First of all, I should mention that our universes collided when you encountered some of our podcasting team at a gaming venue recently. Is that correct?
It's very true. I definitely did. Our worlds collided, I believe, down at GXE in Fort Lauderdale, if I recall. Is that correct?
Little north of Fort Lauderdale, but we'll call it that.
Close enough, right? Yeah, actually, I was in the middle of doing a LARP convention with Mind's Eye Society, which is CCP's effectively fan club. They play these games worldwide of Vampire the Masquerade, and they're coming out with a new gaming supplement that just got successfully kickstarted, and so they're really kicking up a lot of the things that they're doing and have a lot of fun events going on. And so there are a lot of people watching, a small crowd, which include Brian and a few others. And they're like, oh, what is this? This seems really cool. And I'm like, oh, hi, I'm Ryan. If you want to find out more about this, here's my card. I'll get you in touch with all the right people. And they just were like, wait, is this Ryan from Game Nation? Oh, wow. We had a great time.
That's awesome. Speaking of universes colliding, though, as we know, there are at least three dimensions in any respectable universe. So there's yet another tie-in from that encounter. One of our recent guest Chuck Wendig, an author of some repute, Brian, you keep me honest here, did some White Wolf writing in the past, or maybe still does.
Did for sure. I'm not really sure if he does. I think he terminated that.
Well, be that as it may, it's still a pretty interesting tie-in.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of those people are really cool, like Rhys Soesby, who now does all of her stuff for Arena.net, and I think Eddie Webb still writes for them, specifically in their Requiem. So there's a lot of really, really awesome people on their team. And then the individuals that moved over to By Night Studios and helped write their new game, which includes Shane DeFriest and just a bunch of really cool cats.
So you're, in addition to your Game Nation role. You're pretty involved in that community.
Yeah, I definitely am. I try to as the vice president of storytelling and fandom, I have a whole general sundry list of things that I have to do as a vice president. But fans are actually the most important part of my job. So I go out to a lot of the niche market experiences. My favorite right now is actually called Dystopia Rising. They run it at the end of every month. It's this post-apocalyptic zombie warfare boffer LARP, where you just try to survive for 3 nights. It starts on Friday and goes till Sunday. You get to spend time as a non-player character, an NPC, and attack your friends as well as actually fight against the zombie horde. You can find out more about that online. I believe the game that's in Florida, because they do licensing, is called Gatorland, but you can just dystopiarisinglarp.com and find that out. It's really cool stuff.
Oh, really cool.
No relation to Gatorland Zoo, is there?
No, I do not believe so. Although I think they chose that name because it's this in-character premise of what the world was after everything went to hell. So, like, they have the Rat Trap, which is kind of Orlando, and it's based on if these very purebred uppity people took over all of Disney World, and it's pretty hilarious.
That's pretty interesting. So to bring focus back over to Game Nation, lot been going on, obviously, apart from the planning for the event, which is going to be our main thrust this episode. You've got some graphic novels, all kinds of things going on, right?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have that. We have a graphic novel. We have a role-playing game. In fact, our graphic novel right now, we just this last month hit an Amazon number one bestseller, which was a major, major milestone for us, not just as a company, but also as gamers, right? Because everybody wants to have that graphic novel that they wrote or that comic book. And what makes it really cool is that's the Archive series, right? Last time we very briefly mentioned it. But through role-playing and putting your stories online for us to take a look at and us to celebrate your fandom and us to celebrate your stories that you have made, we actually want to publish the stories that people put online that have, you know, our characters or their characters and all that. So by having an award-winning Amazon number one best-selling graphic novel series now, that means that the people that go online and do post their stories, do get involved with us in that respect, will also be part of an Amazon number one best-selling hybrid series. We call it a hybrid because it is a graphic novel. Every page is like beautiful cover art. But it has a little bit more writing to it, kind of similar to the short novels that are over in Japan right now.
So Game Nation is a good way to build a fan's portfolio, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's also just a great way to become famous, really. Is what it comes down to. We are a celebration of everything that we love and that we know other people love of gaming. And sometimes it's video games, and sometimes that's graphic novels, sometimes that's all sorts of other stuff. So regardless, just by getting involved and being able to be part of Game Nation's army, you actually gain a measure of fame.
And here we were under the assumption that podcasting was the best to become famous.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, technically, it took us here.
True. Again, the whole theme of this episode is colliding galaxies or universes. So, so I guess that brings us to the main topic, which is Game Nation Celebration. This is your, your inaugural event, which, as we discussed last time we had you guys on, will hopefully at some point snowball into a huge video game themed wonderland as a permanent fixture on the Florida landscape.
Right. And that's totally our goal. We have a lot of wonderful things that we're doing. And of course, one of the most major steps. Now we have the material. Our role-playing game is literally almost out. It's in illustration and it is beautiful looking. But we want to make sure that people are able to have fun playing everything. And not just our role-playing games, but our rides and attractions. So November 1st, we're beginning this incredible experience called Game Nation Celebration. And at that beautiful, beautiful, glorious event that I am so incredibly happy about, I can't even begin to explain, we actually will be showcasing what our first rides and attractions will actually look like. And it's an incredible first-person shooter experience. It's really cool. It's very fun. It's against a zombie horde. I love fighting zombies. So I apologize to anybody else who's like, I'm so sick of zombies right now. Well, you're going to have to wait because I'm getting my zombie on. We have additional rides and attractions, like the kind of sundry things that you would expect at a theme park. We're expecting to have a bounce house all set up just because, you know, Rook has kids and I love kids, so why not give them something? We'll have games. We'll have a lot of the amazing cosplay and things like that as well there too.
Cool. So one of the things I wondered about was how the sort of play aspect of the experience will unfold.
Excellent question. The play itself is going to change a little bit between what you experience at our event versus what you'd play, of course, in a tabletop setting or what you'd play at the theme park itself. And the main reason for that is actually because the technology we use is very proprietary and just literally finished being developed and is currently in its beta. Because of that, unfortunately, we have to ship a lot of the moving parts from Japan, and we will not have all of the technology that we wanted to have at our event by Celebration. So aside from that, it'll be a lot more like what you would experience in a traditional medium with street characters from theme parks and events like that. The difference is there will still be experiences for you to get involved and change your story as well as their story. There will still be a princess. You still do have the option of saving her or, you know, giving her the dagger and siding with the evil people. If that's your route, hey, that's your route.
Okay, cool. So this is, I'm envisioning, this will be my first time visiting Fort Myers. So I'm guessing this lends itself well to sort of a Main Street sort of setting where stories like this could unfold.
Excellent point. Actually, that Friday night, they're having this incredible art walk, and we're really trying to support the arts and all that. So while this other celebration of media and pictures and all this stuff is going on, it's kind of setting the stage and kind of setting our background to a more realistic and somewhat rustic environment. So we're trying to broach all of our stories to be a lot more realistic rather than have these originally incredibly designed settings, which we will still have some of. We actually have been posting on our social media a lot of our concept art and a lot of the more realistic examples of what you can experience, some of which actually look fantastical, but they're not as fantastical as you'd think. There's still this beautiful well that glows gold, and there are these zombies and vampires and all the other kind of stuff you'd expect.
Oh, cool. So, but you're folding into the art walk thing, so you're sort of you're blended in with that larger event that's going on as well.
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of heart there. Rook, for example, was originally an art student. He was a very successful graphic designer. In fact, the first company that he owned is, in fact, a marketing agency where he got all of his start into this was a huge amount of beautiful artwork and graphic novelists. And now we have award-winning graphic artists on our team that design for Third Rule and all the other stuff. So we really tap into them to handle a lot of our other stuff, including artwork for some of our other projects that have not yet been announced.
Okay, cool. Still playing a little close to the vest. I want to ask a lot more questions, but I don't know how much good prying
cloak,
will do.
It's all about Cloak and Daggers, and that's just because they're one of my favorite comic books. one of the biggest things that I'm looking forward to announcing details on at Celebration itself is how our video game will play. I'm not going to talk about it in detail here, but that is one of the announcements that we will talk about at Celebration.
But you can repeat and acknowledge here on our podcast that there is a video game in the works.
Yeah, I can acknowledge that. That's definitely true. That's a true statement.
Excellent. We'll try to get some leaked beta code out there on the internet for people.
Oh, actually, what we're trying to do is we're trying to have the tutorial ready for Celebration so people can play it. But because of the amount of technology that is actually put into it, it may not be possible.
Okay.
But it will be awesome.
I'm sure it will. And thank you for being gracious enough not to call me out on saying for my use of the terms beta code, when obviously it would be like alpha or something, speaking, not beta.
Well, we have a Third Rule, right, our role-playing game. And that's really amazing. It actually just finished being beta tested. And the people who have been playing it are amazingly hilarious and more imaginative than I ever thought they would be. Because when you play in the game, the different worlds fit in with the different worlds that we're doing with Game Nation, right? You know, mm-hmm. Our cartoon and 8-bit world, our first-person shooter, our high fantasy, our altered reality. And so we've encouraged people to make their favorite video game characters and or make characters that they would like to create themselves and just play and walk around with that are kind of in a video game setting. And they have exploded. We had a party that was all swordsmen that they thought they would be like the four swordsmen of 8-bit games, and we had, I believe it was Link, Roy, from Roy Marth, whatever, and Fruit Ninja was in that, as well as somebody who I didn't recognize, but it was still pretty awesome to see somebody walking around pretending to be Fruit Ninja and then moving into a tabletop format and still portraying the exact same character of Fruit Ninja. It was pretty good.
Gosh, I'm trying to get my head around this game. It sounds pretty...
Well, we created a proprietary system, right? I wanted something that was simple that you could either play as a tabletop or walk around and do live action. We call it live action storytelling, but at its truest nature, it's just a new way of doing live action role play, LARP. And we wanted it so that your character, you could first off take with you wherever you go, just walk up to a game and be like, hey, this is my character. Kind of like what Dungeons & Dragons does with its living campaigns. Or we wanted people to be able to go to any troop game LARP or any situation like that and still be able to use their tabletop character sheet. And so we did that. And that was my biggest challenge, was to craft a system around that that didn't use dice, didn't use rock, paper, scissors.
Thank God.
Didn't use any of that. So we created our own new system, and that will be available. And just so you're aware, it's called Evenly Matched at Odds. There are chances to critically succeed. It's really good.
Not a fan of the rock, paper, scissors battle system, Brian.
I always really felt that killed the immersion. That just did it for me. Like,
well, I think their whole goal was something simplistic that everybody could easily be taught in a quick and intuitive fashion.
And portable. I get it. Yeah.
Right, portable. And 20 years ago, that was the way to go, because they celebrated their 20th year anniversary, I believe, a year or two ago. So last year, I think, maybe. So 20 years ago, that was really the major thing. And then, of course, Boffer LARPs have had their own systems and their own confusions and all that. But I didn't want to really force people to go into Boffer or anything along those lines. So we created a system of our own. We'll talk about that another time. As soon as that is released, I will be more than happy to send you guys a copy of that book and then immediately jump on here and explain it to people.
Speaking of tie-ins, last week we had a recorded role-playing session that went over pretty well. We can do that again.
That's awesome. Actually, currently right now we have the people, including the Fruit Ninja guy, being recorded in a role-playing session just so that our developers can actually see what it looks like, because they thought it was the most novel thing of all time.
Cool.
But yeah, absolutely. I will run a game of this for you. We could do that. It'll be incredible fun, and we'll have a great time with it.
Cool. I might take you up on that, but that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll do that.
So what can we expect from the first of what will hopefully be many Game Nation celebrations? Like, I'm an attendee. I show up. What can I expect?
Us to capture you in a black panel van.
Been there.
That's just for the adventure. And that's not really necessarily a joke. We actually do have, of course, all the things that you would expect in a giant party, right? We have the live music, which is very important, and that'll be cool. DJ Cutman, celebrities like Brental Floss from What If Video Games Have Lyrics. He's really, really adamant about supporting us. So that's pretty cool for us. And for everybody who comes and visits. So you can expect, of course, themed characters. You can expect the cosplay. You can expect the role play. And then you can literally expect to be captured and taken on an adventure. You and your friends, your own little party, whatever it is that you decide is going to be your group, we will literally take you on an adventure.
Is there an LFG tool?
There is unfortunately not an LFG tool. Not to make anybody upset for me releasing stuff that's not really released yet, but that is in fact part of the technology that will be coming in eventually.
Oh, I was totally kidding. That's awesome.
No, yeah, that no, cool. It's very important to us to be able to play with your friends, for you to have a map that updates like a HUD. Really, what came up with is we found a way for you to have a HUD in real life without any of the obnoxious things like Google Glass and things like that are uncomfortable. Yep, that's right. We made a HUD because we're
good. That's intriguing sounding. Wow, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just say that Brian and I show up as Brian and Tom. We don't have any cool character ideas. We're just two guys in plain clothes. Can we feel comfortable showing up that way, or do we need to show up with like body armor and laser blasters and that sort of thing?
Well, you can totally show up as Clark Kent as much as you want. To any of our events, you will have a good time. However, if you show up as Superman, you'll have a better time. So if you decide, hey, we're just going to go, you show up in jeans and a t-shirt, you're going to party with us, there's going to be some competitive video gaming, there's going to be some casual video gaming, it's just going to be a fun event for you. And you can still go on the adventure, but you're going to go on the adventure as two random dudes, or dude A and dude B, right? That's fine. That is acceptable. That is a great way to spend your night, and it will be fun for you. However, if you show up as the ball-rolling kid from Katamari Damacy, and the other one of you shows up as that lecherous top hat dude from Fable 2, right, then I guarantee you, you'll have so much more fun of a time. But remember, we are family-oriented, so whatever it is that you decide, try not to go too wild with it. Although I heard that there was somebody showing up as Spawn, so I'm looking forward to that.
Spawn's a good, clean family fun, no?
Yeah, you know, whatever. He just doesn't like sinners.
Exactly. So what in the way of competitive things? You mentioned competitive gaming. What sort of competition will there be there?
Excellent question. We have kind of tried to do what we thought was the most feasible in the short amount of time. And so we were going to originally have a much stronger competitive gaming field, but we really didn't want competition to get in the way of people's fun. So we just very low-keyed. We're going to have some of the more popular fighting games today, like Injustice Gods Among Us, and then some of the more classical ones. Like we will actually have a Super Smash Brothers competition, just because we thought it was classical and fun, and we love it, which hurts me to hear Super Smash Brothers called classical.
You and me both. I was a grown man when that was popular. So.
Right?
So what you're saying is, not a lot of really stiff competition, and if we were to, you know, apply some podcast pressure, we could have the competitive tables tilted in our favor.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's definitely a lower key competitive competition. It's going to be done very, very well, though, in my opinion, stage and all. You'll still be the rock stars that we feel that esports really is. So. That was important to us, one. And two, we wanted to make sure that, again, we still gave out prizes. So we still have cash prizes and founding memberships and things like that for people that come and compete in these events or that take part in our cosplay, all those different things. We still actually have those prizes. And in fact, we keep telling people we just want you to show up. Right. And that's really all that's needed. If you want a hotel room, get a hotel room. If you really want the coolest part of our event, the extra icing on the cake, the whipped cream and cherry top topping, then you actually want to stay for the next day. November 2nd is our inaugural Game Nation assembly meeting.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you stay the night over, you have to be a founding member to still arrive. You still have to be a founding member to take part in it, or you have to have one of the Game Nation elite staff's business card. It says special guest of Rook or special guest of Ryan Donaldson, things like that. If you have one of those, that's your only other way to get a ticket into this event, is if we handpick you because we want to hear your voice. And what that assembly meeting is, just so that everybody's 100% aware, that's where we actually put everybody in the same room and hear what they want out of a Game Nation theme park, what they want to experience, what awesome things that they love. We'll hear live feedback on the ride that they will experience the night before, which we're not releasing details on. You actually have to show up to get it. We'll hear about that, and then you will actually be able to vote as people. And we as a company, we'll listen to those votes. We will listen to what you have to say. And we will care and make those appropriate changes. If everybody decides to troll us, of course, we're not going to take too seriously to that. We're going to laugh because we're people and gamers. But if they vote, we love this. We want more laser tag-like events. We want more first-person shooter. We would love a sports game. Any number of things. That is your ability to do so. We will listen.
I suspect that you won't be trolled too much. Trolls seem to prefer online environments. I don't think when it comes to face-to-face, people are as apt to troll, in my opinion.
I think there's entire YouTube channels dedicated to trolling in person.
Wow, then I might be mistaken, and please send me those links to post shows so I can perfect my technique, so I can crash the party and troll you in person.
That is definitely fair.
Now I have a terribly selfish question.
Yeah,
I happen to have one of those cards, but poor Tom here is going to be left out in the rain. You allowed to bring guests? Or
what a dagger for him! No, Well, I mean, obviously, if you're our special guest, then that means you've spoken to one of us in particular. That means you spoke to myself or Rook or Cole Peacock or John Holly or Donna or any of the amazing people that are part of our team. Yep. And if you already have that one-on-one conversation with them, like, for example, if you have my card, my cell phone number's on my card. You can call me and say, hey, can I bring somebody? And I will walk out and hand them a card. Wow. That is okay. We are trying our hardest from the very, very start to keep 100% transparency with our audience and our guests and our friends, as we like to call them, because they are actually our friends as far as we're concerned. We are all gamers. It is a gamer community that brings people together. So that's really important for us. From the very start, we want to make sure that we have that relationship.
All right, Tom, you're safe.
Whew. Whew, I thought I was going to be out in the cold.
Except but, that guy.
So let's say I show up to the event and I'm having the time of my life, and then I catch wind of the assembly and I'm not a founding member. Can I, on the spot that day, decide to become one?
Yes. Excellent point and excellent question. Our merchandise will still be available. That includes our hats, our t-shirts, all of those awesome things. And as well, we will have founding memberships there to be purchased. Of course, you can still purchase them online, and you get great rewards for doing so. Some of which, actually, the higher end founding memberships allow you to bring friends with you and always have an entourage free to all of our events. That is a perk of founding membership, is that kind of complimentary all access pass, exclusive information, as well as your ability to bring an entourage. That was kind of the highest tier reward that we offer for founding memberships. So that is also an option as well, if you have friends that want to come with you on your adventures.
Cool. Well, okay, I've got a final question I would like to ask with regard to how attendees at the first Game Nation celebration event can be immortalized in the Game Nation history. That is, I know we've sort of touched on this before, but as an attendee coming to the first event ever that you guys are holding, how can I make sure that my name is written in the stars for future Game Nation generations to revere?
That is excellent. So there is an easy answer, and then there's a more long drawn out answer. The easy answer is just be awesome. If we're walking around and we see somebody just being incredibly cool, and everybody seems to be like, oh, yeah, have you met that guy? He's really cool. He's in a really cool costume. He's doing any number of things, right, that get our attention. Getting our attention is the easiest way to do it, is the easiest way to become a part of our lore, our legacy, right? But we wanted to encourage people to create their own. So the easiest way outside of that is we do have a reputation system called a claim. What a claim is a way of managing your existence with Game Nation, your legacy. And it's an actual number. It has a very, very powerful principle that surrounds why it's created in that way. And more will be able to be read about that online. But what it comes down to at the end of the day is we want to reward you for doing all the things that you want to do anyway, right? Just kind of give you your thumbs up. If you're having fun, that's a little bit of a claim. If you're making sure somebody else is having fun, that's a lot more a claim. So as you all kind of collaborate in a reputation system to improve each other, you earn this currency, this fictitious currency called a claim, which you can spend to unlock very important achievements. You'll be able to unlock for an incredible number of claim just straight up a graphic novel spot or straight up a point in the video game. Now, that is the easiest way to just do it, because you can literally grind those points out by just being awesome 24/7, right? You can do that. Being part of the Game Nation Street Team, that gives you a claim. All of these different moving parts. However, if you also put your story online from your role-playing sessions or things like that, or you start a YouTube channel about your character, things like that that we're able to find out about and really fall in love with, that's also another way of getting involved in that respect, becoming famous in that regard. So three real, real major ways: join the street team, gain acclaim, things like that. Generally just be awesome, or make your character so larger than life that we take notice of it, or simply put your stories on our forums that will be out shortly so that we can enjoy the stories as well.
Yeah, I'm going to need a link to that.
Excellent. Hopefully we'll have it up and running by Monday next week.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So get in while the getting's good here at the ground floor at the beginning of all things is the bottom line.
Yes.
Cool.
There's a lot of awesome stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, I think at least for my part, and I know I'm pretty sure Brian agrees, we're pretty excited about attending Celebration and about what Game Nation has in store for us in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Literally all you have to do to support Game Nation, support the video game theme park that you want to play at, is just show up. If you like it enough, become a founding member. But just show up. All you physically have to do is come to the event and voice your opinion. Because we're just one voice, and you're just one voice. But together, we can leave behind a legacy.
Very well put, sir. And I will say that I was just by showing up to school for 12 years, I ended up with a high school diploma somehow. So if I could manage that, I think the Game Nation experience will be a lot bigger return on investment.
I feel so, too.
Cool. Well, it was a pleasure having you on. We look forward to seeing you at the event. And on behalf of the Nerdstravaganza podcast and our audience, I want to wish you good luck with the first ever Game Nation Celebration.
Thank you so much. I was glad to be here, and I love talking to you guys.
We'll talk again soon.
See you soon, Ryan.
Okay, so that concludes our interview with Ryan about Game Nation Celebration number one. What did you think, man? Kind of excited, more or less than you were before we talked?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I was really excited about it before, but I'm sold on the assembly. I'll be attending that. It went I'm excited about it to that's a yes.
So you're excited about being able to give your two cents regarding what form a video game themed park should take?
Yeah, I just love the interaction that they're searching. I love, you know, building my own lore and being part of theirs. And you know what? I may not make the cut into the graphic novel, but someone there is going to for sure. And I think that's just killer.
Yeah, you make a good point there. It's, I was focusing on the, you know, the eventual theme park, but there's sort of the Game Nation. I've been really abusing the word universe tonight, but mythos, I guess, into which you can sort of have your persona woven if you play your cards right, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to be pretty cool, and I'm really excited about what Game Nation can become, what can result from Celebration, and what sort of permanent attraction we might be able to look forward to someday if everything falls into place. I think, can you think of another, I know we've discussed this in the past, is there another video game specific theme park or permanent attraction that you can think of anywhere around the U.S., Brian?
No, I don't think so, not in the U.S.,
Yeah. So this could be, Florida already has a lot of really cool attractions that put us on the map, but this could be something pretty unique. So I'm glad that we're able to get in here at the ground floor and see things at their beginnings, as it were. And I guess that's pretty much all I have to say about that. Looking forward to Game Nation Celebration, and maybe we can do a little post-show geekly weekly roundup in the episode that takes place after that. That'd be, what, the first week of November? 2013.
Yeah, like fourth, fifth, something like that. Yeah.
Cool, man. So I guess without further ado, we will say farewell to our audience and look forward to anybody local to the Fort Myers area or anybody who wants to travel from anywhere on the great planet that is known as Earth to join us at Game Nation Celebration. And until then, I encourage our listeners to check us out on iTunes, rate us favorably, subscribe to our podcast, write us an amazing favorable review, which we might be able to use our pull with Game Nation to have turned into a graphic novel. And if streaming is more to your liking, feel free to check us out on the excellent service known as Stitcher.
And as far as social media goes, we have made a few changes. The Facebook page is likable as ever. Join us there, facebook.com/nerdstravaganza. We've also tightened up our group a little bit. That is now an exclusive private group. Go ahead and ask to join that, and we'll let you in. We're not exactly elitist or anything, but it's a little bit more homey now. It's a little bit more special. And as I mentioned earlier, our Instagram is doing very well. We're nerdstravaganza there also. And you can join us on Twitter. You can at us at Twitter. That'd be fun. Talk directly to us. We'll get back to you in a week or so. I mean, we're not very good at it yet, but it's building.
Yeah, we're getting there. And of course, if you're of the more traditional mindset and want to consume a worldwide web page, you can do that at nerdstravaganza.com, where there are all sorts of links, among which is, I believe, an email link. You can email us at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. And with all that out of the way, we bid you farewell. Until next time.